going to get into the second part of this, what are the gifts? This is actually the fourth in the series, Empowered, but we started going through what the different gifts are, kind of where you can find them in Scripture, them being used. And if you missed last week, man, go back and check it out. We get all of our texts, the main bulk of our text from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. And it says this: "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one is speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. A variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for good, for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another the workings of miracles. To another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." As we've gone over the last couple of weeks, man, the three before this, we talked about what the Holy Spirit is, who the Holy Spirit is. We talked about the gifts that come, how gifts we're going to talk about. At another time, how gifts and fruit are two separate things. They don't go together, although they do come from the Spirit. But we've been talking about the gifts of and what they are and how to use them. How many of you would use your gift if you knew what it was? Right? You want to use your gift if you knew what it was. Like, I don't know what my gift is. One of the reasons why we're doing this is so that we can look and say, hey, these are some of the things, these are some of the areas where the Holy Spirit is going to give me power to do what he's called me to do. Because how many of you know each and every one of us have a calling? Each and every one of us have a mission field. Each and every one of us have people that he's put into our lives so that we can impact them for him. And how do we do that? Through the use of our gifts, right? Through the use of our gifts. How can I help someone who doesn't trust me, right? One of the things that is most important when we do anything with our gifts is that we earn the right to speak into people's lives. ETR is what my pastor used to call it, right? Earn the right. What does that mean? It means before they know, or they care what you know, they have to know that you care, right? If I walk up to you in a grocery store and I tell you something about your life, right? You know me as pastor, right? So I come to you and I say, hey, listen, I saw this, you know? Or Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to be free from sin. Jesus, you know, died for you, right? You're going to listen to it from me more so than you're going to listen to somebody you've never known, don't know, right? Like, who's this weird person talking to me? And why are they saying something about Jesus? We're not in church, right? No, that's not how we're supposed to be. That's how some people are. We're not in church. Why are we talking about Jesus? Because he's everything. He's everything. He gives us each an opportunity to use our gift to speak into people's lives and to help other people. And the whole purpose for having a gift of the Spirit, the whole purpose is to build up the church, to edify the church, to glorify God. That's all they're for. They're not to make us look good, like, oh, look how great I am. No, it's look how great God is. And I'm so thankful he wants to use me to do it. Right? I'm so thankful of that. Last week we talked about the words of wisdom, and I talked about Joseph. Words of wisdom is basically, without wisdom, wisdom is how you use knowledge. I have knowledge. Wisdom is the way that I use it. That's what wisdom is, right? I can have all the knowledge in the world and not understand how to use it, and it does me no good, right? Wisdom is being able to use what knowledge you have and we talked about Joseph and do that. You guys can go back. I'm going to go quick over these. The word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is speaking truth into people's lives. Things that God has given to me or to you to speak into other people's lives so that the Holy Spirit can do a work in their life. How many of you know sometimes if you could tell them, you're like, hey, you've got a problem. I don't have a problem. I was like, yeah, you have this problem. This is what's going on in your life. And they're like, how did you know that? Right? That's because God spoke it to me and said, hey, this is something that I have. This is a word of knowledge. Or God has given someone, all right, I've been sitting in that seat wondering what's going on and thinking about certain things and having a situation go on in my mind, and somebody come to me and say, hey, listen, God gave me this word for you. I don't understand what it means, but this is the word. And it changed everything just by saying one word. They don't have to know the situation. They don't have to know anything, but one word lets me know that God understands, that he cares about me. Have you guys ever had that happen to you? Yeah. And that's a word of knowledge. That's when someone speaks a word of knowledge into your life. And faith, there are some people that just have extraordinary faith, man. Oh, my goodness. Right? And they're going through the same thing that you're going through, and you don't understand how they're not struggling. Right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no matter what happens, I believe God's going to take care of me. This might kill me. But if it does, I get to go see him. So it's okay, right? It's a win-win for me. He saves me here, or I get to spend the rest of eternity there, and I don't have to worry about nothing else. That's faith. Then we talked about healing and Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful. Then we talked about miracles. We saw Jesus do many of them. Paul did many of them as well. How many of you know it's crazy that he says that the things that he did and greater we're going to do? So that means we would have the ability to be able to speak healing into people's lives. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our life. That's what these gifts are. So the next thing, what we're going to do, if you're wondering in your notes why it starts with number six, because this is number six of the list of the five that I did last week. And so we're going to talk about prophecy for a minute. This is number six. And prophecy, the literal meaning of the word, is to speak before. So the gift of prophecy is a divine enablement to reveal truth at a time spontaneously revealed, but always confirmed and proclaimed it in a timely and relevant manner for edification. There may be immediate or near future implications. Do you know the scripture talks about prophecy? Paul talks about that this gift we should desire more than all the rest of them. And why is that? Because prophecy is speaking a word given from God into someone's life about something that's going to happen, that's about to happen, that's coming in the near future, right? When I was called into the ministry, it was through prophecy, right? And you say, how is that? What happened was, is we went to Louisiana, or we were in Louisiana. We went to Mississippi for a youth retreat, an event. And April and I were dating at the time, engaged. I can't remember which one. But we were already talking about getting married. And so we go to this church, and we're having these services, and it's at the end of service, and everybody's singing and praying, and people are praying everywhere and crying and doing different things. And what ended up happening is I was sitting in my seat, kneeled down, and April was standing beside me praising and worshiping, and God spoke to me and said he called me into the ministry, right? He said, I'm calling you. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is amazing. This is the greatest thing ever. So I start crying, because y'all know I'm a crier. I'm going to cry in a minute anyway. So it's just crier. So I'm crying, and something said to me, hey, you know, you guys are going together. I call April Pastor April. Some people are like, she's not a pastor. You know what? The two become one. She's as much a pastor as I am here in this place, in my opinion. That's how I feel. She takes care of things that I could never take care of and do, and I'm not who I am without her. So the togetherness. And so that, with that thought process in my mind, I said, wow, we're about to get married. I don't even know if that's something she'd be interested in, you know, because sometimes it's not easy, right? And so I called her and I said, hey, listen, God just told me he was going to call me into the ministry. And if you're not okay with that, then we need to talk about it. But if you are, then I want us to sit down, I want us to pray that we're ready when the time comes. And she said, yeah, sat down, we prayed. I did not know this, that at a young age, she knew that she was going to marry a pastor. It's one of the reasons why she didn't care for me so much at the beginning, because I was not pastor material at that time, right? I was still in the process, right? I was still. I was a month in the process, actually. Be truth. But we sat down and we prayed. And then she stood up. And I went back down to praying and crying. And I was excited. And some guy stands up in the front. Well, as soon as God gives you a word, the enemy tries to steal it. Most of the time through your mind. And he came in to try to steal it. And I just said, God, I want to know that was you. I don't understand it. I want to be used. I know my shortcomings. I know all these things. Tell me again. And sometimes you remember, careful what you wish for. You might just get it, kind of a thing. Remember that with God. When you ask him, you receive in faith, by faith. All right? So I start, God, show me again. Tell me again. And a man stood up in the front. I had met him for that long. Hey, Mike, how you doing? And we went and service was starting. Didn't know me from anybody else, right? And he stood up and he said, God just gave me a word. He said, you are going to be, God, you ran in the world. He's like, I don't know who it's for. He's like, you ran in the world for a while. And he was putting his hand across like this and he was going like that. And he said, I don't know who this is for, but you ran from God, and this is what's happening, and that's what's happening. He's like, you know what? No, it's you. And he pointed dead at me. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, God, right? That's using the gift. That's God calling. And different people were using their gift the night that all that happened. Does that make sense? And a word of prophecy is a truth. It can be backed up by scripture, and it's something that will happen, not might happen. Will happen, right? 1 Corinthians 12:10 talks about to one is given another is prophecy. Is given prophecy. To one is given this, to one is given that. We were talking about that. In Romans, Paul talks about prophecy, but what prophecy is being able to speak the words of God into someone's life, and it's something that's going to happen. It's not... Don't confuse it with fortune telling. Don't confuse it with that. Do you know everything that God has, devil has a copy, twisted version of it? That's the difference. But prophecy, and this is the thing. There are, and we're going to get it. I'm going to read it maybe this in a minute too, if I get that far. But we... We see in the scripture... where Jesus spoke prophecy into people's lives. One of the times that we see it is Peter denying Jesus. Luke 22:31-34, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. How many of you think it's amazing that Jesus prays for us? It's what the scripture says. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father advocating for you and for me. How cool is that? But I've prayed for you that you may not fail. And when you have turned again to your strength, brothers, Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, that the rooster will not crow this day until you have denied me three times that you know me. Three times that you know me. How many of you know Peter thought that could never be true, but what ended up happening? There it comes. Jesus foretold his death. This is two times. I don't know why I did this, but this is two times that Peter messed up. He did some amazing things, but he messed up a bunch too. That's why I like him. It's a familiar story, yeah? Jesus foretold his death, Mark 8:31-38. And I'm not going to read all of this. I'm going to save a little bit of time, but go back through there and read it. He says, Peter... I'm going to go. He's talking to all the disciples, talking about the death and the things that were going to come. And Peter said, not so, Lord. You can't. That's not going to happen. We're not going to let that happen. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Right? Then what happened not too long after that? He goes to Jerusalem. We celebrate what he's done for us. He went to the cross for us. The same as what he said. A word of prophecy spoken into someone's life. How many of you know it's difficult to stand up and say things that you don't know? That you know to be true, but you don't know if they're true. Does that make sense? If God's given it to me, I know he's being truthful, but I don't want to say something just in case. right? Just in case I was just thinking about that, and that's how I want it to be. You know, that's an important and a valid thought process when you're going to use your gifts, that you use them in the right way, right? But that you use them. How many of you know your gifts don't do you any good if you don't use them? Number 7, we're going to talk about discernment. Discernment is to separate or to make a distinction, differentiate. The gift of discernment is divine enablement to distinguish between the truth and error. It's the ability to discern spirits, yeah, and to be able to separate out the truth from the not truth. The person who comes, again, it's talked about in 1 Corinthians 12:10, the ability to distinguish between the spirits. And this is what ends up happening. Again, everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit for. And so you have to be careful, because there are going to be a lot of people, according to Scripture, they're going to come and speak false words, false doctrine, try to lead people astray. John, in 1 John 4:1-3, says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now is already in the world." He's talking about, just because someone says, "Thus saith the Lord," doesn't mean it's from the Lord, right? And the Holy Spirit has a gift of discernment. Now, some people, how many of you know, all of these gifts we all have access to or a part of a little bit, right? And I'm explaining why I mean that in a second. I'm sorry, y'all. Discernment. Not everyone. Don't believe every spirit that comes. Test the spirits. Sometimes there's going to be words that come into your life and things that people say that you've got to decide, is this from you, God, or is this not from you? One of the things is that, going back to where I was at earlier and then I just derailed, we all have the ability to use certain gifts, even though there are certain people that are called to do just that, right? And when we get here in just a minute, we're going to talk about evangelism and administration and other things like that, and that are gifts, that are abilities, that are ministries that God's put into our place. We all have access to them at certain times. What do you mean? I can have discernment and not have the gift of discernment, right? I can evangelize and not be an evangelist, right? And I'm supposed to, right? So there are gifts that we all kind of use and we can see in our lives, but there are some people that have a supernatural use of the gifts and are able to do more than like, "Man, I really wish I could do that." Well, don't look at what you can do and do what you can do. And when the time's right, God will give you what you need, right? So discernment. Discerning between the spirits. We see them doing this in the scripture. In Acts chapter 16, Paul's going into a place and they were going around and they were preaching and they were doing different things. And this lady was following them who had a spirit of divination, right? Who was a fortune teller. And she started walking around behind them speaking truth. And you say, well, I wonder why he would do this. So in Acts 16:16-18, it says, "As we are going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave, a girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owner's much gain by fortune telling." I want to squirrel for just a minute, but some of y'all it'll work for. Remember how I told you in the book of Acts, there goes a point where Luke stops writing about them and starts writing about us, This is one of the scriptures where you see that. One of the first ones where you see that. Acts 16. That's a little Bible nerd for you guys. Sorry, y'all. I had to. It's cool. I just think it's so amazing at that point. But he starts writing here. He says, we go into this city. We're started being followed by a lady that was a fortune teller. And she was saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. Now, how many of you know that is a 100% true statement, right? She is speaking on behalf of these people, and Paul turns around and casts the demon out and tells her to stop, right? Now, we can use words in a certain way. We were talking about this morning. We can use words in a certain way, and by the inflection of our voice, they mean two completely different things. Exact same sentence. Two different meanings, right? By the way we say things. Now, it doesn't say that she was saying it in a way that was derogatory or that was bad. It doesn't say, but she was proclaiming the truth about him, and he cast the demon out. And I always wondered why he did that. This was discernment that he had. This is not from God. This is from another source, right? He could tell, because other than that, she probably looked like everyone else, proclaiming the same things everybody else was proclaiming when Jesus walked around, right? So how did he know that this was the situation? Well, God spoke to him, of course, and he cast the demon out, and it stopped, and it ended, right? He uses this gift here, the discernment, to say, this is not of God. And you say, well, why, if she was saying good things, did he cast out the demon? Like, why, if she, like, why did he even bother? Because this is what ended up, he didn't want this person to be linked with Jesus Christ, the message of salvation, what God was doing, so that other people would follow when he was gone. He dealt with it then so there wouldn't be an issue later, right? Does that make sense? She's walking around saying the same thing. The discernment comes, and because of it, he uses another gift. We have been given discernment. That's a gift that God gives. And some he gives it to even more so than others. Sometimes you'll see something in a person and say, something's not right. I don't know what it is, but something's not right. Do you know what that is? Discernment. Right? Discernment. Pray. Ask God. Say, God, help me with this. Discerning. Because most of the time when we're led away by stuff, it's because it looks right at the beginning. And it's not till we get into it that we realize we weren't listening. Right? That's why discernment is so important. That's another reason why checking the scripture behind anyone who speaks and making sure that it's the right thing and is used in the right way is what we should be doing. There's a lot of false that comes around, a lot of things that Satan tries to put into our lives. And the thing about this is that the discernment doesn't only help up me. It only helps if I use the gift to build up the church and edify the church, right? Now, let me say this. It's not a license to gossip. God gave me this discernment. Y'all need to watch out for her because y'all know what she did. That's not how it works, right? The gift of discernment is to build up and to edify the church, to stop the stuff that's not true. To stop the stuff that's not true. And look, I'm not going to tell you that I'm right and other people are wrong. I'm going to tell you I'm right to the best of my ability. I believe that I'm right, or I wouldn't be saying it, because I'm going to be accountable for it. I always want to speak truth. Discernment. God gives you discernment. The next thing we're going to talk about, number 8, this is tongues. Most people think about speaking in tongues, and that's the only thing they really understand about what the Holy Spirit is. You say Holy Spirit, they think tongue talking, right? That's where most people's minds go. Now, this is the thing about this gift. The literal meaning is the tongue or a language. And the gift of tongues is a divine enablement to speak, worship, or pray in a language unknown to the speaker. People with the gift may receive spontaneous message from God, which is made available to the body through the gift of interpretation. So this is one of the gifts that, unless coupled with another gift, does not have the desired effect of a gift, spiritual gift. You say, what does that mean? If the tongue is not interpreted, if it's not interpreted, then it doesn't build up the church because we don't know what just happened, right? According to Scripture, we don't know what just happened unless there is an interpretation. And Paul tells us in a minute, and I'm going to read it in a minute, about how they're supposed to work and what they're supposed to do. But what happens, and some people, this is the thing about it. Some people believe that it is only for back then, that it happened then. It happened on the day of Pentecost. That's just a Pentecost thing, and that's the only time that it happened. Well, go a little deeper into the Word, and you'll see that Paul laid hands on people and imparted the gift of speaking in tongues. It says that. I'm going to read that in a second. But we first see the Holy Spirit come and tongues happening in Acts chapter 2. He said, go to a place. They're in the upper room. They're waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said was going to come and that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, right? Be my witnesses. I have power to do the things they were supposed to do in all the places. So they're there waiting on this. The Holy Spirit comes, and the first thing that happens is they were filled with the Spirit and started speaking in tongues. This is why we know they were speaking in tongues, is because when they went out of the building, this is one of the things that I like, and nobody ever says anything. This spilled out into the street, right? They didn't leave church in church. They didn't leave church in church. They took it out the door, and they're like, I don't understand this. I don't know what's happening here, but this is what I'm supposed to do. I know I'm supposed to do this, right? And people around started hearing their own language and said, how in the world can these people speak to me about that? And what did that gift do? Again, brought interest in. How is this person who shouldn't be able to do it? This has sort of the same. I saw this thing on YouTube the other day, or Facebook. Somebody sent it to me or whatever. It's a guy. He's just an average American, young white male, and he goes into a place and starts ordering Mandarin, Chinese, like Mandarin, and then he says, oh, you want a different dialect, and he goes to a different, she's like, how on earth is that coming from you, right? They were so shocked. And you say, how does those two things work together? That's what happened here, right? They came out speaking the things of God, and they started hearing it in their own languages, and because of it, they received the gift. Now, how many of you know that there's a difference between speaking in tongues and interpretation and praying in the Spirit, which is the same thing? You're still uttering things that you don't understand, that you don't know. There's a place where it talks about Jesus, and some people have a controversy on whether Jesus spoke in tongues or not, and I'm going to explain to you why. Because they say when Lazarus was dead, it says that he groaned in his spirit. It says it in the King James Version. It says it differently in the rest of the versions. It's one of the things. I know some people that are hardcore King James only. And listen, I always reference the King James and the other. I do both, right? I don't read the King James because I don't do good reading. These and thous, I get messed up on thes and ands, right? I just can't. So I don't do that. But I always go back. But in this place, it says he groaned in his, like he uttered in his spirit something. Doesn't say what it was. Doesn't say what he said. There are some that believe that this was an instance of him speaking in tongues at that moment, praying in the spirit, because that's in essence what it said. Amen. If you read it that way, and so that we see it there, but we also see that there is a tongues and an interpretation that if it could be interpreted by a man that was there, if someone knew what it was, that it wouldn't be, well, you guys understand what I'm saying. It wouldn't the interpreter would just speak out what the person just said. So the message that comes in the moment of a service, or at a time when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it doesn't have to be in a service. It could be anywhere. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you begin to speak in other tongues, one of the things about a gift is it says that the Spirit is subject to the prophet. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit can't make me do anything. He can't make me. He can't make, like, I just can't control myself. I have to do this. No. He gives us self-control too, right? You don't have to do it. But if it edifies the church, then maybe you should. Right? If it doesn't edify the church, if what I do just makes everybody look at me, even though they're not looking at me, that makes everybody's mind go to me, then I'm not edifying or building the church. I'm making people look at me and pretending like I have the spiritual gifts. Right? Listen, every real thing, there's a copy for. And a lot of times our... Sometimes, in some of us, our zeal to be a part of something makes us manufacture something that shouldn't be. And we have to be careful of those things. That's another reason where discernment comes in. Is it something that, God, you're having for me to do, you want for me to do? There are different types of speaking in tongues. And again, they say it's only for the day of Pentecost. But in Acts chapter 19 in Corinth, it talks about how Paul laid, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? So this is one of those, this here, this one scripture is one of the places where people say, well, you just received the Holy Spirit when Jesus comes into you, and that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not two different things. It is two different things. The Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, to me, is a different circumstance, different situation. If you want to know more about that, come. We can sit down. We can talk. Maybe we could do a class on it sometime, hopefully, in the future. But this is one of the places also that we see that Paul, that it can be given from person, right? Can be bestowed if God has given him that ability. Does that make sense? Some of y'all look at me awkward right now. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Like, I'm not sure what's going on right here, but anyway. Then we go to the interpretation of tongues. And like I said a minute ago, to translate is to interpret. The gift of interpretation is the divine enablement to make known to the body of Christ the message of one who is speaking in tongues in different languages. Again, we read about it in 1 Corinthians 12:10, talks about that he gives that gift to them. And then in the end of the chapter, Paul talks to them and says, hey, do all possess the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. This statement right here, kind of, not to shoot at anybody, but this statement takes away a certain aspect of different denominations where if you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, then you're not really saved. Here is a place where Paul says, not everyone does it. Do all of you guys have the gift of healing? Do all of you guys speak in tongues? Do all of you guys interpret? So there are some gifts that are not mine that I don't have. Now, can I ask and desire gifts? Paul tells us to right here, earnestly desire gifts. But just because I don't have that gift doesn't mean my gift isn't just as important. And it doesn't mean that my gift doesn't complement the other gift. Right? Tongues and interpretations, not everybody's going to do it. What we do have in the book of Corinthians, the 14th chapter, is how he says that it should be used in the church. So again, if it's just for the day of Pentecost, then how is it going on in the services, and how is Paul directing it? Why is he directing it? Because if it's only for the day of Pentecost, why didn't he shut it down? Right? Again, he didn't shut it down because it was what God was doing and it was happening. And it is I know some people aren't aware of what happens, and it kind of scares or frightens or weirds out people, right? And that's not what the gift is for. It's to build up and to edify. The problem with the reason why that does that at times, it's not because it was wrong, because it does say that it is not the author of confusion, so it wouldn't bring confusion. The ignorance from the enemy is what brings confusion. And ignorance, I'm not using it in a derogatory term, please. It's not knowing is the ignorant. To not know what's going on and so it being fearful. But then once you understand what's happening, it doesn't affect you in that way anymore, right? I don't know, some of y'all are like, man, it still freaks me out every time. It's okay. It's okay. Paul tells us how to use it in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, what then, brothers, when you come together, Each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Let it all be done for building up. Again, the gifts are only used for building up the church. If any speak in tongues, let there be no more than two or at most three, each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. Let the two or three prophets speak. Let the others weigh in on what's said. If a revelation is made to another one sitting there, let him first be silent, for you all can prophesy one by one so that all may learn and be encouraged. And this is where we see in verse 32, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you do anything. You allow it to take place in your life. Right? You allow your gift to be used. It's like other things. There has to be obedience for the gift to be able to be used. Some is blind faith stepping out, not understanding what people around you are going to think or what's going to happen or how you're going to look or whatever. Let me tell you, if God wants to use you, he's more proud than of anybody being ashamed. Then that's what you need, right? That's what you need. We need to look to him for it. But then it says for this, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So the tongues, the interpretation, should bring peace in our lives, right? And it should be a part. But there is a way that it is used and a way that it's not used. The next thing that we have, I'm going to do one more, and I'm going to leave the other two for another day. All right? I'm going to do administration. You say, where is this at? He talks about it in Corinthians 12, verse 28, towards the end of it. But it means to pilot or to steer a ship. The gift of administration is a divine enablement to understand what makes an organization function, the special ability to the plan and execute that accomplishment to the goals of the ministry. So how many of you know even though this is a church, there has to be some administration done. It's still looked at through the government as a business. It has to be run kind of as such. We have to have the officers and the different things you have to have in order to be. And it takes some administration to do. How many of you know some have been given gifts of administration? Some have not. Yeah. I'm not going to say it. Some have been given gifts of administration. I am not the best administrator in the world. Let me just say it that way. You can take whatever conclusion you want from it. But I do know some people that have been given that gift and use that gift here in this place to make this place function the way that it should, the way that you guys don't see. And see, the thing about the gift of administration, even though it may not be used in the church, it still is used as a gift in the places that he's put you at. Some of you are administrators at offices, that is your ministry, that is what you do, that is the gift that opens the door for you to be able to do things there in people's life. What do I mean by that? I'm there, I'm the administrator, I'm working, April has an issue, she comes in, she sees that I dealt with that same issue last week, right? You guys know how workplace stuff happens. The gift of administration is just a tool that he's given you to open up the door for you to, in the place he's put you, point to God and glorify him. And that is just another aspect. This is the thing about churches. People usually go to a church where they know someone there. Relationship, right? Notice when people leave a church, it's because of a relationship soured a lot of times. Just be honest, right? Something happened. And so a lot of the church here is what we know is because of relationship, right? That is our
conduit.
The way that we're able to share Jesus Christ with others is through that. The gift of administration is just one of those tools that allows, if he's given you this gift, that allows you to do it. Titus 1:5. Paul's talking to Titus about being an administrator, about of doing what's going on, and about being able to have wisdom on how to make the church function where he was at. To Titus, my true child, in a common faith, grace and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Savior. That is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint leaders in every town as I directed you. What did Paul do? He put Titus in a position so that he could administrate. Man, I can't say those words today. I'm sorry. He could do set this church up the way that it should be done. Again, this is a gift that was given to certain people, and it's available for you and for me as well. I love you guys, but I need to quit. You guys ready for quitting? Let's do it. Come on up, man.